should our financial picture look different than the rest of the world's?
Well, the short answer to that is an obvious yes. But let's just think through this a little bit logically here. So most of us, where did we learn about money? Well, we may have learned it from parents, from school, from just the world around us. And typically what we've done is we've taken on the worldly lessons on how to handle money. So it's natural for us to actually reflect, in the beginning at least, what the world values as far as how we should handle money. And the problem is that the world around us only focuses on this short life. And that leads us to a natural conclusion. When we believe that all we have is this short life, then it's like Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, the natural conclusion is, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's only natural that that would be our conclusion, right?
Right.
But as believers, we have to think beyond that. We now have a new vision of what eternity looks like. And 1 Peter 2 talks about how we're aliens and strangers, and we should abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. So there's a bigger picture going on here. And once we actually gain that eternal perspective, we understand that our money is not, well, that number one, we don't just have this short life here. There's an eternity that we're involved in. Then our money should also reflect that. So an eternal perspective is certainly going to change things.
Mm. Well, Brad, let me ask you, when we're talking about our financial picture, it should look differently, but where do we see scripture that kind of backs that up, supports that, to give us that eternal perspective on how we view money?
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of different verses I could go to. One that I think of is in Colossians 3, says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So in addition to considering our own position as aliens and strangers here, so we're only here for a short stay, God's telling us to set our minds on the things that are above. And when we do that, what we realize is that, yeah, we have wants and longings while we're here. And those are God placed inside of us. The problem is, where are we looking to fulfill these wants and longings? And unfortunately, we're trying to do it here. And when we do that, the things of the earth are always going to fail to satisfy. Because you have to remember, we still have sin associated with everything here on this earth. So God has placed in us this desire for the perfection, for those wants and longings to be ultimately satisfied in their perfect state. So when we're trying to spend our money and satisfy those wants and longings here on this earth with things that are they're going to rust, they're going to corrode, they're eventually going to fall apart, and we're even in our sinful state, so we're probably not even going to use them in the way that God has designed them to be used and enjoyed, we're ultimately going to fall short in that satisfaction. And that's what we continue to see over and over and over.
Hmm.
And one of the things as believers is we have a hope beyond our circumstances. So as we get this eternal perspective, we're not just going to look for the satisfaction in our moment, in how much money we have, in our status. We're going to look beyond that because we understand that God is sovereign over everything. So whether we're rich, whether we're poor, the Bible tells us that God has made both, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we have that eternal perspective, we can actually find contentment in whatever situation God has put us into. So we don't have to spend our money trying to change our circumstances. We can find satisfaction and joy in wherever Christ has put us at that point in time.
Well, Brad, I know that instant gratification can make bad spending an habitual thing. So that's a thing that needs to be broken. How do you see people transform their spending as a result of growing in their relationship with Christ?
Well, we originally see, and this is something we all see even inside of our own churches or inside of our own lives, we see our minds and our hearts transformed when we accept Christ. And the next thing we need to see transformed is our desires and our spending. And because our money is always going to reflect where our heart is, right? And Martin Luther, he had a great quote. He said, there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. And I think it was Charles Spurgeon said that normally it's a pretty slow process to transform the pocket. So it's not always the quickest thing. But what we typically find is, number one, we see a growth in thankfulness for what we have, not a bitterness in what we don't have. And I can share with you a story of someone that went through my class years ago. I love this family and I love this story. When I first met with them, the husband was really caught up on the identity that his car gave him. And so he obviously spent quite a bit of money on his car because that was just, it was part of his perception of what his identity was and how other people would see him. And just through studying scripture, God really transformed his heart. And that was the one thing that he was holding on to, but he quickly gave it up. Once God started working on his heart, he's like, you know what? The car is not my identity. Christ is my identity. And even today, it's been almost a decade, but even today when I see him, he's quick to tell me what kind of car he drives, because it's not because of how much money he spent on it or how nice it is, but the fact that he's given that up and he's satisfied driving this car today.
Wow.
So it's amazing how people, when they transform the mind and the heart, then that pocketbook will eventually follow.
Well, I think we all have those types of things. And it can be a car sometimes. Maybe it's the home, the neighborhood that we live in. We just have certain things that we identify who we are with. But when you replace that with our identity in Christ, there really isn't anything better. Because that car is going to go in the fire. The house will go in the fire. The whole neighborhood is going to go into the fire eventually. But our relationship with Christ lasts. And Brad, we've been given that great commission to take that good news to the rest of the world. So how does the way that we use our money impact our evangelism for Christ?
Yeah, I love what you said there, Steve. What can we add to Christ? So when we have that, what else do we need? And when we have that perception, when we have that understanding, then what do we want to do? We want to share that with everybody else. So just like the parable of the pearl of great price, or the parable of the hidden treasure, both of them are telling us how valuable Christ is, how valuable the kingdom is. And the gospel is our primary act of stewardship. So when we understand that, then our spending should reflect that. And the typical desire we see for somebody that's sold out for Christ is they're going to look at, how do I limit my spending on myself so that I can share Christ with other people? So that I can give more to the missionaries that are taking the word overseas, so that I can give more to the Bible translators who are translating the Bible into a language for people that have never heard the gospel before, to you guys who are out there proclaiming the gospel on the radio. What ministries can we give to, rather than trying to fulfill our fleshly desires here that we know will never be fully satisfied? We look at, how do we now provide for our families, save up for our future what needs to be saved up for so we can provide for them in the future, but the rest, how do we give it so that we can take the gospel to those who don't know it?